We're holding on Chof Amud Beis, 8 lines from the bottom. We were talking about the question of who the document of the get has to belong to. So we said, for example, that if the husband says to the wife, I want that, you have to, that the paper that the get was written on will still belong to me, then that's no good. Only if he says, return it to me, then it'll be fine. And we also talked about, so for example, you have the an eved with a get written on him is in her possession. Would that necessarily mean that he gave the eved to her, or is it possible that the eved walked there himself? So now, continuing on that kind of topic, boy rami b'chama, hoy mochzokin b'tabla shishalah. Suppose we know about a particular wooden tablet that it's hers. We know up until now this tablet has been hers. The get kosev aleha. Now we find that a get has been written on that tablet, and that would be fine. We obviously it could be written in ink. It could even be that the letters are engraved into the tablet. We already learned yesterday that would be fine as well. The question is, v'hadei yotzei mitachas yadoi. Right now, the tablet is found in the husband's possession. Mahu, what would be the din? Would he be able to divorce her using this tablet with the get written on it? The question is, mi aminin aknuyak nisale, would we say that she must have been maknet to him? Because again, the material of it has to belong to him at the time of the writing of the get, and then afterwards he gives it to her. So would we say it must be that she must have done that? She must have given him that tablet with a valid method of kinyan, so he could write the get on it. So now he'll give it to her, and that'll be that. Or maybe we would say that a woman or a wife in this kind of context does not know that she needs to be maknet. She may not realize that point that the get has to belong to the husband. So she may intend to retain ownership of the tablet the whole time, and that would be no good because then the writing material doesn't belong to him, and therefore you don't have the venos on law later on. So maybe that would be the case. She may think, for example, that she can only, Tosfa says, she may think that she's only lending it to him, or she realizes obviously he's writing the gift on it, but she may think she's just lending it to him for that purpose. So what would it be? Now it is true, the Gemara is going to go through a few possibilities. Eventually we're going to actually answer from a Mishnah, and Tosfos points out that Mishnah later on that says that a woman could write her own get, we could be talking about over there, Rami Bahama might be saying that it means that it does in fact belong to the husband, just that she's paying the sofer to write it. So that doesn't necessarily prove anything one way or the other. But we'll get to that later. First we're gonna go through a couple of attempted proofs. So Amar Abaye, Toshma. Let's bring a proof from a Mishnah in Adius. Masechta Adius, we know, is various Chachamim testify about things that took place, about things that they learned from their Rebbeim, or actual cases that took place to establish that the halacha is so. So Mishnah says right there that this is Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, Heid Akfar Kotten Shahayim Yerushalayim, he testified about a small village near Yerushalayim. There was an old man there, and as the Gemara is going to say soon, the word zokin can also mean a tamid chacham. This old tamid chacham was lending money to everybody in the village. Now, whenever they needed a document for that purpose, he would write the document in his own handwriting and using his own paper. And others would sign, because you need Adam, of course, to sign such things. So you had a regular thing over here. Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava is informing us that in this village, all the Shtari Chov were written by this guy. They were just signed, and on his own paper, and they were signed by others. The case was brought to the Chachamim, v'yichshiruhu, and they said it's kosher that those shtaris are valid. Now, so the Gemara says, so Abaye says, v'amai. Now, if you're going to ask that there might be a problem over there, you would say, why would it be good? It's true by a shtar chayv, of course, you don't have all the dinim of writing get, but nevertheless, at least that it has to belong to him, you do have habayin a sefer mikne v'leka. The whole concept of a shtar chayv. And the point is, what we're assuming is that since he was lending them money, it must be also that there were not only are we talking about, so Tosfos points out, we're not just talking about these weren't only loan documents, because in that case, then Abaye wouldn't be bringing a proof from it. Rather, what it is if this guy is lending to everybody in town, so everybody in town does business with him, must be that sometimes people would also do him favors and sell him things or sell him fields or with a shtar or give him gifts. So therefore, some of these shtaris then would be ones that are going to be used to buy a field. Either that the shtar itself would be the method of kinyan if it was a sale, and then later on he'd pay them the money, or that it would be a gift and therefore the shtar itself constitutes the method of the kinyan. So, in a safer mikne v'leka. Now, where do we have the whole concept that you can acquire a field using a shtar? We learned that from the story of Yirmiyahu in Aftarta, Parshas Bahar, buying a field from his cousin Hananel, where the pasuk mentions that he had safer hamikne, he had a document of purchase. So we learned from that also, the expression sefer hamikna implies that it has to belong to the seller, the same way as we're saying over here that the get has to belong to the husband when he's writing it, and then he gives it to the wife. The same way with a sefer mikna, with a shtar to acquire a field, it has to be that it belongs to the seller. And here we're saying the paper belonged to the buyer, to the zaken echad. So how would that work? It must be because he's makna them the shtar. So we see, and now the shtar is shortly going to be given back to him. But we don't say that he just meant to lend them the paper for the time being. We say that he meant to actually give it to them as a kinyan. So therefore, the same thing by a gift. We might assume the same thing. Yes, right. Yes, we know that this tavla previously belonged to the wife, but right now we see it in the husband's possession. We may as well assume, says Abaye, apparently similar to that Mishnah, that in fact she knew full well she has to be maknet to the husband, so you can write a valid gift on it. So she does that, and then afterwards he gives it to her. But there's no problem that maybe she only lent it to him. So that would be a proof that would be a proof to Rami Bachama's question that it would be okay. But Omar Rava, my kusha. But Rava says, why is that a question? What makes you think that the case in the Mishnah in Adias is difficult that you need to enter it that way? Dilma zokin shiny. It might be different with a zokin. With zokin means a tamen chacham. Sure, he knows that it's not going to be a shtar unless he's maknet to them. So a wife doesn't necessarily, when she's getting divorced, she doesn't necessarily know to that extent. She may think that she's only lending it to him. She may not realize this point that it has to be that it belongs to him and then that he gives it to her. So you don't have a proof from that necessarily. So again, when you don't have a chazaka previously on the paper or the tablet or whatever that belonged to her, then fine. We can assume that it was his all along. But here, when we have a previous chazaka on this tablet that it belonged to her, then how all of a sudden are we saying we can assume that she knew she had to be machneh to him? What if she didn't? What if she only lent it to him and then it would be a possible get? So you still don't have a proof. So the Gemara says, okay, Ella Amad Rava Mehoch. So rather, Rava says, fine, let's try to bring a proof from a Mishnah at the end of Bava Basra. We know there's the concept of an Orev. When Reuven borrows money from Shimon, it's possible to have that Reuven will take Levi as an Orev, as a guarantor, to pay off the debt. Now, the din is, first of all, the Gemara mentions there and in some other places, that you can't collect from the Orev first. You have a certain kind. If he's an Orev Kabbalah, then you can, but a regular Orev, you have to first try to collect from the Loiva. Only if he defaults, only then you collect from the Orev. which the Gemara mentions in some places, is unlike the current Goyish law that they had at that time, that existed at that time. Maybe the law is like that now also, I don't know, that you can go after the Orev first if you wanted. Anyway, but you have also, there's a, within an Orev, when it comes to collecting from the Orev, you have a difference of whether sometimes you have cases where you can go even after his Nechosim Meshavodim, and sometimes not. So if you could go after his Nechos and Mishabodim, it would mean, so again, Reuven has borrowed money from Shimon, Levi is the Orev, in whatever way, let's say because Reuven has defaulted on the loan, then we go to Levi, and we find that Levi himself doesn't have what to pay, so we would take from Nechos and Mishabodim, we would take from property that Levi had previously sold to Yehuda. Anyway, so one case, the Mishnah says, well, you can't do that. Orev hayotze la'achal chitum shtaris. If the Orev is written in the shtar after the signatures, the typical way would be that the Orev is there before the signatures. You have the shtar says Reuven borrowed money from Shimon on such and such a date, etc., etc., and Levi is the Orev signed, and the two Edom signed. Here we have that after the shtar was signed, the Orev writes in his own handwriting, Vani Orev, that I'll be the Orev. So the Mishnah says Goyim nechosim nechorin. You can't collect from the chosim v'shabodim of the orev, then only from bnei chorin, because the whole point when can you collect from the chosim v'shabodim is only when you have a shtar signed by edim, because then it has a koil. Here, in effect, it's like a milval pet, like a verbal loan, and therefore there's not enough of a koil, and other people who are buying from Levi can't know to protect themselves to not buy or to demand achrayus or whatever when they buy, and therefore you can when Shimon is going to come to collect, he can collect only from Nechos and Bnei Chorin, only from Levi's actual property. The point is, though, we do see, now here we're not necessarily talking about a Talmud Chacham, like in the Mishnah in Adias, we're just saying, Orev Hayotze La'acha Chitum Shtaris. Now, what's going on? At the point when the Orev signed it, it already belonged to the Malva, because we're talking about it was written out and signed and given to the Malva, and then the Orev comes and writes on it, Vani Orev. So how would he be making a kinyan on his own property to be able to say, but a shibud. How would he be making a shibud on his own property if the shtar doesn't belong to him? Didn't we just say before you need sefer mikneh? So therefore, that shows, in other words, evidently the malva must be makneh the shtar temporarily to the orev, to the extent that the orev can write on it vani orev, and then he gives it back to the malva. So we see that any time something like that is being done, you're actually giving it rather than lending it. Well, the same way we could say with the tablet and the husband and the wife. But again, Omer Rav Ashi, my kusha. But Rav Ashi says, why do you find that Mishnah so difficult to understand that you should need to answer it that way and to say that we have to be talking about that they know that there's a problem that you're wondering how this writing on the shtar could work and you're having to answer that he's machmir to him. You could say sure he's machmir to him, but the difference is Doma Gabra Shiny, it's different with a man. Men do more business in general, so they're more familiar with the whole concept of shtaris and of how they work. The Yodalaknuyi. He knows he has to be machmir. So the Malva, yes, is going to know that he needs to be machmir that paper with the shtar on it to the Orev temporarily in order for him to write on it Vani Orev. And so that he should have the ability to collect from Levi the Orev's property. That doesn't necessarily show that a woman being divorced by her husband, where women in general are less involved in business, that she should realize this may be the first time that she's ever dealing with a shtar, that she should realize she has to give the tablet to her husband so that he can write the get and then he'll return it to her. She may not know that concept. Elo, Amar Rav Ashi Mehocha. Rather, Rav Ashi says we can answer Rami Bachama's question on the basis of a Mishnah in our own Masechta. It's also a Mishnah in Adias. Actually, we're going to be rebooting it later on in our Masechta, but it's actually also a Mishnah from Adias. It's actually the continuation of that Mishnah before about the old man with his shtaris, where the Mishnah says Isha Kesevis is Gita, a woman can write her own get and then give it to the husband that he'll be koinet and then he'll give it back to her. Actually, we do have it later on. We have it on Chaf Beis on the Beis. We're going to have it, the Mishnah over here. So she can write her own debt. But ish kosev ashoy, right? Similarly, a man, when he's paying off a debt, when he's being paid off a debt, rather, can write out the receipt himself. So, or let's say, not a debt, but a ksuba, let's say, Rashi says. So once the husband pays off his wife's ksuba, same idea. He can write out a receipt in his own handwriting and be makne to the woman, and it works, and then she has the aid of sign it, and she gives it to him to keep as a proof that he paid her. Because after all, what makes the get certified, what makes it established, is when the Edom sign it, and therefore we don't really care who wrote it. The woman herself could write the get, and it would still work. So, but we see from that mission, in any case, that you could also have that. So she's writing it. Now, at that point, it belongs to her. Then, though, we're assuming, though, that she's giving it to the husband to be koine, because otherwise it wouldn't be a valid get, and then he's giving it back to her. So there you go, says Rav Ashi. You see that even in a case of a husband and wife, we can assume that the woman is knowledgeable enough to know this kind of thing, that even if the get previously belonged to her, or in Romy Bahama's question, it wasn't even the get itself necessarily, it was just the tablet that it's being written on, whatever, that yes, she would know she has to be makne to her husband in order for him to give it to her, and in order for the mechanism of the get to work. Okay, so that answers the question. Even though we knew that this tablet belonged to her, nevertheless, we can assume that everything was done properly, and she gave it to him, and then he gave it back to her, and there was no lending involved, and everything is fine. Okay. Another topic. Amar Rava, kosev lo get. Suppose a husband wrote a get for his wife. The nusne b'yad avdo, he gave the get to his eved to bring to her. Because of l'shtar matana olav. No, he didn't actually. It's not so much the eved is going to be giving it to her, but rather to get at the same time he also wrote a shtar where he's gifting her the eved. So what happens was now what it is we talked about yesterday briefly, and we're going to talk about in more detail later in the Masechta, that it's possible to give a get without handing it directly to the woman. You can put it in a chaser, or you can put it in property that belongs to her, and she'll be koinet, and it'll be a valid get. So here what happens is he gives the get to his eved, and then he writes out a shtar matana that he's gifting the eved to her. So now she acquires the eved, and the get takes effect, because now the eved becomes like her chotzer. So it's called, it actually says, gita v'chatzera boin loka echad, that her ownership of the get, her ownership of the chotzer, and the giving of the get happen at the same instant. So therefore it's kosher. And therefore, in other words, had the eved not belonged to her, then it would be kosher only when she received the get. But like this, because now in the middle of there, the eved belongs to her because of the shtar matana that he gave. Therefore, the moment that she acquires the eved, also the get takes effect at the same moment because now it's in her chotzer.
So the question is in this case that the property is this played in a situation that we learned a few days ago about zachen laden.
There's being zoicha in the property itself, right? The Pashtos could be an example of zochen ladim shalom fanav. Although the Gemara is going to be saying not necessarily. The fact is that you have to have that she's accepting the acquisition of the chotzer. You always have, for example, when you give somebody a present, the other person can always turn it down. It's not necessarily zochen ladim shalom fanav to give somebody a present. It's one thing when you're paying off a loan or something, but it's another giving them their pikudin. But here we're talking about giving her a present. No, it's not necessarily zochen ladim shalom fanav, because a person might want to refuse a gift, might want to refuse a present for one reason or another. So we're gonna discuss that point as we go along. However, the Gemara asks, never mind the question of gita v'chatzera boim ka'achad. The problem is v'amai chotzer mahalachasi. The question is, how does that work? Isn't it a walking chotzer? Because exactly that, of course, an eved can walk, an eved can walk, and therefore, the whole point that you can acquire something through a chotzer, the whole concept of kinyan chotzer, Rashi explains it, dirabanan, and the Chachamim made that only when it comes to a chotzer that stays in one place, but not the equivalent of a chotzer that moves around. In fact, Rashi points out Rava himself, who says the din over here about the Eved, is also the one who says in Bava Metzia that there's a difference between a chotzer that stays in one place and a chotzer that moves around. So Rava would be contradicting himself then on the face of it if he says that the Eved himself counts as a chotzer and therefore she acquires the get through that. So how could that work? The Rashba, by the way, points out, now, we did have in the Mishnah the case where the get is written on the Eved's hand, and that works. He gives her the Eved, and the get takes effect. The difference is that there, the get being written on the Eved's hand means the Eved himself is the get. So we're not talking about Kinyan Chotzer, we're talking about the actual Kinyan of the get itself. So all he has to do is give her the Eved, and that's that. Here we're talking about the Eved himself is not the get. He's the Shliach. He's the means by which the get is reaching her. So therefore, now he wants to give her the Eved, and Rava is saying that automatically, as soon as she acquires the Eved, she also acquires the get, and it takes effect. But how could that work if the Eved himself is a Chotzer Amalachas? V'Chotzer Amalachas Leitona. And a Chotzer Amalachas does not acquire, and Rava himself says that in Bava Metzia. So you're going to say maybe we're talking about where the Eved is not walking, maybe we're talking about where he's standing still in one place. Still doesn't work. Rava himself says in that Gemara in Bava Metzia, Kol she'ilu mahalach lekana, in any case, including an Eved or an animal or whatever, where he wouldn't be koneh by kinyan chotzer when he's walking. It would also apply Omid v'yoshev lekana. It also wouldn't apply if he's standing or sitting. So how can this case of Rava's, where he gives her the Eved, and together with it, she's Kona, and together with the Eved, she's Kona the get, how could that work? And the answer is v'hilchsa b'kafus. The answer is Rava's halacha, Rava's din, would in fact only apply when the Eved is tied up. So when he's tied up, then he's not considered a chotzer malachas. Different Rishonim talk about the detail, what we mean by kofus over here. Do we mean, for example, that it has to be that she's actually holding on to, that first of all, Tosfos actually mentions that it would have to be not only that he's tied up, but also that he's sleeping. Further on in the Masechta, we're going to have a case because you have another issue, even if he's not mahalachas, even if he's not moving, you also have mishtameres shaloy ledaita. If he's awake and holding on to the get, then he's guarding it. It's not fully dependent on her das, because the Eved himself has das. So Tosfos actually says it would have to be both. He'd have to be sleeping, otherwise if he's not sleeping, then you have that problem in mishtameres shaloy ledaita. But you also have to have he's tied up, as we're saying in all Gemara over here, because otherwise you have the different issue that he's still considered chotzer malachas, because even though right now he's sleeping, he still conceivably could move. You'd need both. And different Rishonim talk about actually that, are we talking about that she actually has to be holding on to, that she actually has to be holding on to the rope? The tour in this connection brings a possibility that it might work. It doesn't necessarily have to be that he's sleeping. Yes, Omrim, that if his hands and feet are tied and she's holding on to the rope so she can control when he's untied, then even if he's awake, then yes, Omrim, it would be good. On the other hand, the Rosh says, like Tosfos over here, that no, it would have to be that he's sleeping and that his feet are tied. According to that, it wouldn't necessarily be that his hands need to be tied, just his feet, so he can't walk. Whatever the case, Rava's din about Nostim Yad Avdoi and Kna'atu Miskeresh Espoi, that she's Kona the Eben, and at the same moment she's Kona the Get, that would only work, again, not in a normal case where the Eben is walking around. It would have to be that the Eben is tied up and according to Tosfos and according to the Rosh, also sleeping. Then it would work, because then it's not a Chotzer HaMalachas, and then it's Mishtameres L'daita, then it's being guarded based on her das, and therefore that would work. The Omar Rava, now Rava says another din in this connection. Suppose the husband wrote her a get and placed it in his chotzer rather than hers. And again, because of a shtar matana, and he writes about a shtar matana that he's gifting her this chatzar, same thing. Then she acquires the chatzar, and with that, she also becomes divorced. Now, why does Rava need to say two different dinim that seem to amount to the same thing? In both cases, he's saying that you can give her the chatzar and it works. So it's tzricha. We need both of them. The Iyashmin and Eved, if we had only been informed about the case, if he had only told us about the Eved, Havamina, Davka Eved, you would have said, maybe only by an Eved such a thing works. Avo chatzar ligzer mishrum chatzera habol achamikan. But in the case of a chatzar, maybe we should say it wouldn't work because we might confuse it with a case of something that becomes her chotzer only later. Meaning Rashi describes, suppose that he put the get into somebody else's chotzer. Then that somebody else went and sold her the chotzer or gifted her the chotzer. That certainly wouldn't work. When would it work if it's in a husband's chotzer and he gives the chotzer to his wife? So then we could say that chatzera v'gita, then we could say gita v'chatzera boin ke'echad. But if it's a third party that the chotzer belonged to, we wouldn't say that his giving her the chotzer makes the get take effect, because you still have to have the nos and the yobi. You still have to have the husband, not a third party, is giving it to her, unless, of course, that other guy is a shliach, but we're not talking about that. So you would think in the case of a chotzer, maybe we should make a gzera that it might be confused with that. In fact, Tosfos says it's one thing with the Eved. Again, we're talking about the Eved is tied up and maybe also sleeping. That's such an unusual case. You would say, fine, the Chachamim don't make Zedus on unusual cases. But a regular Chotzer, it's a normal enough thing to give it or sell it. So therefore, you would think that maybe if the husband puts it in a Chotzer and then gives her the Chotzer together with the get, we should say maybe we should make a gzera that it shouldn't work because it might be easily confused with a case where somebody else get, where he puts it in somebody else's Chotzer and gives it to her. Therefore he needs to tell us that no, it does work with a Chotzer. The Iyashmin and Chotzer, on the other hand, if he told us that it works with a Chotzer, Havamin adaf the Chotzer, then you would think only there, Havel Eved ligs a Kofus, Alter Shein a Kofus. In the case of an Eved, though, you would think, look, since we're saying it works only if the Eved is tied up, then maybe we should have to make a Zera. People may not realize that. They may give it to the Eved while he's not tied up or not sleeping or whatever, and they won't realize that it's not a valid get, because the Chotzer am Aleches. And therefore, maybe we should make a gzera, kamash malan. Therefore, Robert needs to tell us that in both cases, we don't make any gzeras, and it's fine as long as the Eved is tied up, or it's fine as long as it was his chotzer. His chotzer, that he died. Not a third party, but the husband's chotzer, and then he gave the chotzer together with the get to his wife. However, Omer Abaya, but Abaya says, how does this work anyway? Now that we said Rava says these two dinim, but Abaya says, how could this work anyway? Mehdi, let's consider. Meheitha Israbi, from where do we have the ribui anyway? Where do we get the idea that he doesn't have to give the get directly into her hand? He can get it to her using a different method. That would be miyod. We learn it from the fact the pasuk says v'nosan v'yoda, you should put the get into her hand, and we understand that it means ma yoda de isa ben midaita ben ba'al karcha. Now, placing the get in her hand can be done with her consent or against her consent. We know, after all, until chayim de ben gershim, a man can divorce his wife without her consent. So af chatzera, the same way, if you're going to divorce her through the chotzer, also has to be the isa ben midaita ben ba'al kocha. It has to be whether she agrees to it or whether not. V'homatona midaita isa ba'al kocha lesa. When it comes to a matona, so this addresses your point, Ben. A matona, we wouldn't say zochem ma'adam shalei b'fonav, because it's not necessarily a schus to have a chotzer, to receive a gift. The Gemara mentions in some other places, first of all, some people don't like receiving gifts at all, so in a matona zichya. Also, you know, having a chotzer imposes certain responsibilities on you. It means that, if the chotzer belongs to you, just the opposite, you'd be collecting rent from other people. But yeah, I mean, you need to maintain the place. You may have to pay property taxes on it. You have to deal with an eruv. You have to deal with an eruv chatzeres as far as Shabbos. So it's not necessarily an exclusive schus that we would say that zochem ma'adam shalei b'fonav. So in order for her to acquire the chotzer, it has to be midaita. It can't be ba'al kocha. So how can we say that it should be similar to yoda, such that the get should work in the first place? So never mind the question whether the Eved is tied up or not, or uh, or whether the chatzar belonged to the husband or to somebody else, how would this work anyway? A get that involves giving her a matana shouldn't be able to work because it can't happen, bal korcha, unlike giving a get into her hand. So Rav Shimi ba'ashi in turn challenges what Abaye is asking. He says, well, I'll give you an example of exactly that. V'ashlichus the Kabbalah, consider the case of a shliach Kabbalah, which we're going to talk about in more detail later on, in the sixth and later program of Amasekta. So you can have like this. There can be, for our purpose, let's not get into all the various shluchim that there can be. We're going to talk about later on, there can be three different kinds of shliach involved with a get. But particularly there can be something called a shliach Kabbalah, which is the woman herself can appoint a shliach to receive the get on her behalf. So, and then as soon as that shliach receives the get, then it takes effect as if she herself received it. So Rav Shimi Ba'ashi says, look, in that case, to be died to eat Issa Ba'al Kocha Lesa. So there you have an example where, it has to be with her das, because obviously she has to decide to appoint this person as a shliach Kabbalah. It can't be Ba'al Kocha. And it still works as a shliach Kabbalah. So you see, therefore, that just because you have something that can happen only midaita, that doesn't necessarily disqualify the method of receiving a get. So why should you? So what's your problem, Abaye? You're saying that the problem is who receiving the eved or receiving the chotzer has to be midaita. So what? So it's a shliach Kabbalah, and a shliach Kabbalah works. Why shouldn't these work as well? You see that you don't necessarily have to have something that could be either midaita or baal korcha. So the answer is Abaye. What does Abaye answer to that? He says, "Otu shluchos miyodes shaboy." Think about it. He says, "You're talking about two different bases. The fact that a shliach works is not that you're thinking. What are you thinking of Shimi Ba'ashi? It comes because it's an extension of yoda. It's not. Mivasholach b'shulcha is Rabbi. It's because when the pasuk says that he gives her the get the shilcha mibesay and he sends her away from his house, and we could have." The pasuk could have said v'shilach mi beisai. He sends from his house, and instead it says v'shilcha. He sends her. So from that we learn later on in the Masechta, we learn that the concept that there can be a shliach kabbalah from that extra. So Rashi explains. In other words, the word v'shilcha means he sends her, but because after all in the Sefer Torah it's written without nekudas, we could also read it as though the hay did not have a mapik. The mapik makes it her, that he sends her away. But we can also understand, as if it was written without the mapik, which makes it into a feminine verb. V'shilcha, she sends somebody to receive the gift on her behalf. So that would be a shliach kabbalah. So therefore, so Abaye is saying, it's one thing, what are you saying, Rav Shimi Ba'ashi? You're saying that you want to compare a shliach kabbalah to a chotzer, but they're two different things. To acquire the get through the chotzer is because it's an extension of yada. The fact that she can send a shliach kabbalah is learned from a different thing than the fact that it says b'shilcha. Israbi is how we're marbe. So just because a shliach kabbalah works only when she consents to it, because by definition she has to have agreed to appoint the shliach kabbalah, that doesn't necessarily show the same thing should apply by a chotzer, which we're learning from a whole different pasuk, or not a whole different, but whatever, a whole different word in the pasuk.
That her chotzer should be zeicher
to her. Maybe Abaye is saying, I'm still maintaining that since the chotzer is part of yad, then you have to have it. Should be similar to the yad. That can be either baal korcha or beretzayin. So, in fact, Rav Shimon Shkop explains about this. What he says is basically that it has to be that when the get is placed in her hand, she has no role to play in it at all. She's completely passive. It's just placed into her hand. And then Lamaisa, she takes a hold of it. And in principle, it could just be stuffed into her hand, and that would work. So the same way over here, it has to be that Abaye is arguing that she should have no role to play in it at all, but she has to agree to receive the chotzer. So, okay, we're gonna say though there could be a difference. A shliach is sort of Shimi Ba'ashi is arguing that a shliach is something else. That a chotzer. So you have when a get is placed into the chotzer, she acquires the get automatically. Let's say for example the chotzer previously belonged to her. Let's say we don't have this issue of having to give it to her as a gift. If she already previously owned a chotzer and he placed the get in that chotzer, it would work. So there's no involvement of her at all. But on the other hand, with a shliach, she has to be directly involved, and therefore, if Shimi Ba'ashi is arguing that it should work, and then Abaya is saying again that they're based on different psukim, and they're based on different psukim, and therefore there's no proof. So that's one answer. You could say that the concept of a shliach kabbalah is learned from a different word in the pasuk than the concept of a chotzer. The boyisem a shlichus the kabbalah nami ashkan bar kocha. Or another possibility, as a matter of fact, you could say that shlichus kabbalah also, you can have an example where it's against her will, she can av the kabbal get the bitik tana bar kocha. Because after all, a father, when the daughter is a ktana, or a naira for that matter, then he can accept the get on her behalf, whether she agrees to it or not.
Only a ktana
or a naira. But still, the point is, we do see that point, that if the husband wants to divorce her when she's a ktana or a naira, then we learn that the father still has reshus over it, and therefore he can receive the get bar kocha. And in fact, Tosfa says, not only bar kocha of the wife, of the ktana, but even bar kocha of the husband himself, of the father himself. Again, the husband could give the get to the father bar kocha, and it would work. So we see that even in the case of shlichus kabbalah, you have an example where it can be bar kocha. So we have two possible answers to Rav Shimi Ba'ashi's challenge to Abaya. Number one, we're saying Abaya was saying that on the face of it, in order for a kinyan chotzer to work with a get, or kinyan eved, as the case may be, which is like a chotzer, it has to be that it could be bar kocha, it could be lutzona, and here you don't have that because here she has to agree to accept the chotzer or to accept the eved. So one point is, we're saying, the fact that you have a shliach kabbalah doesn't disprove that, because we learn it from a different pasuk. But second of all, you could also say, shliach kabbalah also, you have exactly those same two possibilities. It could be, in some cases, medaita. In some cases, it could be bar kocha, and therefore, a buyer's objection against the other still stands, that on the face of it, it should have to be something that's accomplished only medaita. So how could it work? Where we're saying it does depend on her das, shouldn't it have to be that it has to be similar to Yad, where it could conceivably take place by a kocha, and here on the face of it, you don't have it because she always has to agree to accept the chotzer. Okay. Nonetheless, that's a buyer's objection to Rava. Nevertheless, though, Rava still leaves it as it is, that it could work that way. Okay. Next, we said in the Mishnah, Al ha'ola shol zayis v'chol. We said a get can be written on an olive leaf, or it can be written on the hand of an eved. So let's focus on that one. So the Mishnah had said, actually, in both cases, if you write it on an olive leaf, then it has to be that the leaf is detached from the tree when you write it. The Mishnah had not mentioned anything about that. The Pasha is an olive leaf, because it's probably what we're already talking about, is detached from the tree we're writing on it. Rather, what we said is, we're not really focusing on the Ola Shel Zayis so much, we're focusing on the next two. The Mishnah had said, you can write a get on the horn of an ox, but then you have to give her the entire ox. Or you can write it on the hand of an eved, but then you have to give her the entire eved. The point is, you can't cut it off and then give it to her. So the Gemara says, "V'shleima yad de'ed."
And check the behemoth
and take off the horn, right? As we're going to discuss. So the Gemara says, "V'shleima yad de'ed." I can understand why you can't. Why in the case of the eved, you certainly can't cut off the hand and give it to her. Loy etzel the mitzvah. You can't cut it off. After all, the eved is the eved. Mitzvahs are applicable to the Eved. So Rashi says you're actually not even allowed to. Never mind, one second. For an Eved, Rashi says, because he's Shayach and Mitzvahs, therefore you're not even allowed to injure him. Now that itself, that Rashi is saying that you can't injure him, is interesting. The Rambam, in fact, says not. The Rambam writes that a master does have the right to beat his Eved, just that if he beats him too hard, then you have the Pesukim and Parashas Mishpatim, that if he kills him, he's Chayav Misa. One second. But you could say, I guess, that maybe we're talking about hitting him versus something like that. Whatever the case, anyway, you certainly can't. And in fact, Rashi points out, after all, if he did cut off his hand, what would happen? He'd be Yotze B'Roshei Barim. You have one or more, in this case five, of 24 limbs that that make it that if the master cuts them off or damages them or whatever, then the Eved goes free. So if you were to do that, the Eved would go free. So obviously you can't do that. Ella, Keren Shapara, but in the case of a horn of a cow, what's the problem? Lixia Velasmila, why not cut off the horn and give it to her? Why do you have to give her the whole cow? And the answer is Amakra, because the Pasuk says, V'chosav V'nosan La. The Pasuk says that he writes a Sefer Krisus, a get, and he gives it to her. So that implies, Misha Enim Achoser El Ksivo Nesina. Meaning that it has to be that the only thing that's lacking is to write it and then give it to her. You can't have to have, you can't have that there should be a Yotzezesh Machoser Ksivo Ksitzo Nesina, as opposed to a case where you have to first write it, then chop it off, and only then give it to her, then that wouldn't work. So if you're giving her the whole cow, then fine, there's no ksitza necessary. So therefore, that would be valid. But if you're going to cut off the horn, then that would be that you have to have another step before you give it to her. And the pasuk is implying that putting the chosav and then v'nosan, that you can't have any other steps, and you can't have any other steps that are needed in between the writing and the giving.
Before the process, if you cut it off, is that
valid? If he cuts it off beforehand, obviously that's fine. If he cuts it off and then writes the get, then that's fine. There's no chiddush in that, though. The chiddush is that he can write it while it's attached to the animal, but then he has to give her the entire animal. Now, first of all, further on, further down, the Gemara is going to discuss the point that it can't be attached to the ground at the time when the get is written. Actually, we're going to have that in the next Mishnah. So there are Mephoshim will explain. There are Achronim will explain. Basically, you have two different dinim over here. You have one that can't be attached to the ground, because then you can't really do Nesina at all. Then you can't really give it, because attached to the ground, or the only way to give it would be by giving her the ground. And we just said before that might be problematic. But you have a separate thing that it can't be cut. You don't have to, even if it's something detached from the ground, like a cow is not attached to the ground. Nevertheless, you can't have that you're cutting it from where it grows. Tosfos gets into a long discussion over here about the question: what about if you're not talking about where it grows at all? What about, for example, you have, let's say you take a very large sheet of paper and you write the get on it, and then you want to cut off the blank parts, and then you want to give her the get. Would that work or not? So Tosfos first brings from Rabbeinu Shmuel, the Rashbam says that would be fine. Only when it comes to animals or plants where you have grows over here and now you want to detach it from where it was growing, then you have the problem that mechusar ktitza. But if you just have that was a large sheet of paper and you're cutting off part of it, that wouldn't be a problem, says the Rashbam and Tosfos. But then Tosfos goes on to say that they're not a different, Rabbi Yitzchak Rabbi Nachman, Tosfos says, one of the Balei HaTosfos, such a case happened in his times, and he said it's possible, and everybody else argued with him. And in fact, the Halachas Gedolah is also possible, and Rabbi Natam is also Nachman, and Tosfos gets into a whole discussion about that. So Lamaisa, to write it and then cut off the extra before you give it to her, use a very large sheet of paper, and then cut off the extra before you give it to her, that might be a problem. We might call that mechusar ktitza as well, even though we're not talking about cutting it from where it naturally grew, but just the fact that you're cutting off part of it. So it's one thing, for example, when you have cutting off small amounts. We talked about yesterday cutting out the margins maybe might work, like the space between one line and the next. We talked about a few days ago cutting off the date and giving it to her. Such small trims might be fine, but not cutting off large pieces. So Lamaisa in Shulchan Aruch, it says that the parchment for the get should be sized for the get before you start writing on it, because otherwise you have the question over here in Tosfos whether it would work. Okay. In any case, with the horn of the cow, definitely we're saying, since that's where it grows in the first place, then it has to be either be detached before you start writing the get on it, or if not, then it has to be, the whole get has to be, the entire cow has to be in. Okay. Next, the Mishnah said, Rabbi Yosef Gluli said you can't write on anything living or on food. So he would say it is possible to write on a cow's horn, because the cow is alive. For that matter, he would also say you can't write it on Evan's hand for the same reason. So my time is Rabbi Yisrael Gvili. Why does Rabbi Yisrael Gvili say that? And the reason is Tanya. We learn in a Brisa. The Pasuk says Sefer. The Pasuk says that the husband writes about Sefer Krisus, a document of divorce. In the other Sefer. Now, from that, you would only know it has to be Dafka, a document written on parchment, and so forth, with all the regular dinim of, with all the regular dinim of a sefer. So minayim l'rabbis kol davar. How do we know that it includes other kinds of things as well as we've been learning the last couple of days? They could write on anything. Tamad loymer v'chosav l'mikol mokum. Therefore, the pasuk says he writes for her, implying no matter what, it's always kosher, even if it wasn't written on parchment. Impay matamad loymer sefer. Then why does the pasuk write sefer in the first place? It just say v'chosav law without the word sefer, and the reason is. So the Braisa says, really is saying, Ma sefer davar she'en bo ruach chayim, just like a sefer, a piece of parchment that is not living, af kol davar she'en bo ruach chayim, ve'en oichol, and it's not food, af kol davar she'en bo ruach chayim, ve'en oichol. The same way, anything else you write a get on, it doesn't have to be parchment, it's true, but it does have to be something that's not living and there's not food. So that's where Rabbi Yosef really is getting to pass all such things. Zirabonon, what are the chachamim answer to that? Tosfos, by the way, points out that you could have thought to say maybe the v'chosav and the sefer is a klal of prat, and then we would say it's limited daf to the prat. And then Tosfos says, yeah, but then the pasuk continues v'nosan v'yada, which makes it a klal again. So you have klal of prat or klal, so therefore that's fine, and therefore it works like that.
Still a problem if it's alive.
So therefore, well, that's what Rabbi said. Really, he's saying that's a problem if it's alive or if it's food. Yeah. And Tosfos Reed also brings this point that he's that you have a klal of prat over here, a klal of prat, a klal, like Tosfos says. Okay, anyway.
You're writing an allusion. The leaf is going to spoil in day two.
So that's what we said. At the top of the omelet over here, there's a Tosfos, which actually we discussed on the Mishnah, that says that, yeah, if we're talking about, like, for example, an onion leaf, which is going to dry up very soon, then you're right, it wouldn't work. We're only talking about it works with an olive leaf, because olive leaves will last longer. Well, they'll eventually dry up, of course, but they'll still last, and they'll still be solid for a long time to come, yeah. We talked about, by the way, yesterday, a deeper idea that Reb Levick brings in his Chedushim on Shas and Torah Levi Yitzchak, that there's a deeper idea behind mentioning Dafka and olive leaf, because olive leaves, and then all of itself has to do with the connection of Chochmah and Bina, and therefore husband and wife, whereas a leaf is more Chitzoniistic to it, and therefore represents the separation of them. So Rabbanon, what are the Chachamim answer to Rabbi Yosi Agrivi, to his explanation from the word sefer and from the klal of prat to klal? They say iksid bas sefer kedekarmel. If the pasuk had said that he has to write bas sefer, which implies in the sefer, then you're right. Then we would say it means on parchment. And you would say that if you have a klal of prat to klal, it means it's including things that are similar to that. Hashdichtiv sefer, but it never actually said, it doesn't mean ba sefer or bis sefer or whatever. If it said the word in a sefer, but since it just says sefer, hashdichtiv sefer, when it just says sefer Christos, it doesn't even mean that it has to be anything similar to parchment at all. It just means that it has to be a document that tells over what's going on. That tells over that they're saying hariat muteris v'chol adam, and so on and so forth. But nothing to do with it being written on parchment. In fact, the Ramban says, this is where we learn, we talked about yesterday, that you have to have the name of the husband and the wife and the city. Where do we get that those have to be written in the get? From, we're saying, Sipur Dvarim, the fact that it has to be a recounting of what's going on, so we have to write in there that Pliny is divorcing his wife Plinius from city Plinius. Yeah. Okay. So therefore the Chacham say you can't learn from sefer that it has to be similar to parchment. Well, the question is, but Rabbanan hai v'kosav my avulei. So what are the Chachamim doing with the word v'kosav? Rabbi Yosef really again is saying that sefer means it has to be parchment, and v'kosav means it can be other things that are similar to parchment. But what are the Chachamim doing with that word v'kosav? The answer is meboyluhu v'chsiv meskareshes ve'in meskareshes v'kesef. They need it to teach us that she can only be divorced with a shtar, with a get, and not with money. Now, why do we need that? If the husband gives her a pruta, then that wouldn't work. Safra and Chamina, without that, you would have thought, Akish Yitzir Lahavoya, after all, you have a hekish between the yotz and the base of a hoch of a hois of the ishacher, the pasuk says, so therefore you would think that there's a similarity. Mahavaya b'kesef, just like her becoming
engaged.
And not engaged. Or becoming Makudish to him. It takes place through money. Once one of the three ways. After Tia Nami Bekesif, the same way the going out, the divorce, could also be accomplished with money. Kamash Malan, therefore the Pasuk would be needing to tell us that not. So therefore they say that's what we need the Bekasif for, not to be part of Rabbi Yosef Agriva's Klal of Prat. Okay, the Gemara asks me, Idach, what is that? How does Rabbi Yosef really learn that? He says, Nafkulemi, Sefer Krisus, Sefer Kursa, the Indavar Acha Kursa. He says, yeah, but you can learn that in a different way. Since the Pasuk says, Sefer Krisus, a document of divorce, from that we learn only the Sefer, only the document can cut her off from her husband and make them divorce, nothing else. The Idach, one of the Chachamim answer to that, they say, Mibola Davar Akuris Bein Levein. They say, no, what you need to learn from the word Sefer Krisus is it has to be something that permanently cuts off the relationship between them, not something where there's a tnai that will still be in effect indefinitely. Kedetanya, as we learn in a Braisa, suppose the husband gives the wife a get, and he says, Harezer Gitzach, Amanastro Etishti Yayin, this is your get, but it will be in effect only as long as you don't drink wine, or Amanastro Etochel Vesavich, or as long as you don't go to your father's house. If he says in either of these conditions, La'olam, that this should be forever, Ainz at Krisus, then it's not Krisus, and therefore the get is not valid, because you haven't completely cut off the connection between them, because you still have the Tanai in effect. Which Tosfos points out, now eventually the father is going to die. However, he's still going to have descendants, and they're still called, therefore that can still be called Beis Avich. In fact, Tosfos says, you see, by Tamar and Yehuda, we see that Tamar's father had already passed away, and Yehuda tells her, Shvi Amona Beis Avich, go sit as an Amona in your father's house until Shelah grows up. So we see that even though her father had passed away, it can still be called Beis Avich.
Also
By that's true. By Mordechai and Esther, that's true. He uses the expression. That's true, right? Okay. So that would be considered something forever, and therefore that's no good. But ad shloshim yom, it is a crisis. But if he says you shouldn't drink wine, the tenai is you won't drink wine or go to your father's house during the next 30 days. Then fine, that's crisis, because after 30 days, therefore the tenai will have taken effect, and there's no more connection between them.
If she just breaks that tonight one time.
If she breaks that tonight, then that's different. But in fact, Rashi elsewhere in Shas brings that since it can come to Krisus during the 30 days, really Minat Torah should be allowed to marry even during the 30 days. Midrabanan, maybe not, because we were afraid what if she breaks that tonight, but Midarai said then she could, yeah. Anyway, the point is, so therefore the Chachamim say that we learn that from the expression, Sefer Krisus, rather than you, Rabbi Yosef, really want to learn from that gerushin take place only with a shtar, not with money. You can't learn that from Sefer Krisus. From Sefer Krisus, you have to learn that point that there has to be Krisus. The fact that you can't use money, you have to learn from the fact that it says Sefer. Or from the fact that it says v'chosav, rather, from the fact that it says that he writes. So the Idah, what does Rabbi Yosef really answer to that? He says, Mekoris Krisus. He says you can learn both. Because the Pasuk could have said Sefer Koris, and instead it says Sefer Krisus, therefore you can learn both things. Number one, that a Sefer is what causes a writing is what causes her to be divorced. And number two, that it has to be Krisus, that it has to be completely cut off and not an indefinite tonight. So therefore, he says you can learn both of those from there. Therefore, you have the word b'chosav available to teach us to be part of a klal of pratiklal, and therefore to say that it should be similar to a sefer, that it should be similar to a scroll, a parchment, and therefore that can't be living or food.
So according to that, it can't be written on a horn of an animal.
No, so that's what he said. That's exactly what he said. It can't be written on the horn attached to an animal because it would be alive, right? But up the Idach, whereas the Chachamim answer, Koris Krisus, like Daushi, they don't Daush him like that, they don't hold it, could have said Koris, and instead it said Krisus, they don't hold that. That's a significant difference. That's just the Dibra Torah, Koloshim Ne'odam, and therefore you can't learn anything extra from that. So therefore the Chachamim, in other words, are saying, from Sefer Krisus, we have to learn that it has to be Dover Akuris Bein Levena, it has to be something that completely cuts off the connection between them. Therefore, they need the word Bechosav to teach us that you need to write, that you can't use money to effect a divorce. Therefore, they don't have Bechosav available to teach us anything about a Klal or Prat or Klal. Rabbi Yosef Lili, meanwhile, says you can learn from Sefer Krisus that it needs to cut off the relationship between them, but also that you need a get rather than something else. Therefore, he has the Chosav available to teach us as part of a klal or prat or klal that it has to be something similar to a sefer, something similar to parchment, in that it's not alive and not food. Right. No, that can't be money. It's something else that he's learning from the word sefer Krisus. Yeah. Sefer Kruzos, meaning Dafka Sefer. Okay. Mishnah says, Ein Kostman v'machobel akarta. You can't write a get on something that's attached to the ground. So we just said before, you have the point that it can't, that it has to be cut off. But again, we said before, there are Mephoshim who explain that there are actually two different yudim over here, two different issues. One is it can't be attached to the ground, because then you can't have a proper nesina. And then you have, even if it's not something attached to the ground, if it's something like the horn of an ox or the hand of an eved, also you can't have that it's cut off in order to, also that you can't have that, so that, that also that you can't have that you cut it off before you give it. So two different dinim based on two different criteria.
So you kind of before you give it what's the same?
So in other words, there's two different things. Rishonim actually already explained this. That you can have it can't be attached to the ground. In other words, let's say for example, forget about detaching it. What if, for example, he were to write the get on a tree and give her the tree? Then that's what the Mishnah is saying would be possible. And the idea is, because then you don't have the Venus. So the Rosh explains, because you don't have the Venus under Yada, then you don't have, can't give it into her hand, because it's attached to the ground.
So you give her the rights to the tree?
Doesn't matter whether you give her the rights to the tree. The fact is, you're not, it's something, it has to be something that can be physically given over. And the Rashba gives a reason, because the word safer implies that it has to be something detached from the ground. Still, even the Chachamim, we just said doubting the word safer differently, but they agree that it has to be something that it can't be Mechover. We had also the point, we had on Amud Aleph that it has to be something that you give her, that you could give her Baal Korcha, and here you can't, because she would have to accept the tree as a gift. So you have that point also, that Ur Sameach makes that point. Anyway, that's one din. Separately from that, you have a din that when it's attached, you can't detach it and then give it to her, because then you have the problem of Mechosuk Tzitzit. So you have two different dinim over here. Number one, you can't give it to her while it's attached to the ground. And number two, that if it's something that to begin with was never attached to the ground, but if like a horn of an ox, for example, then you can't detach it from the ox before giving it to her.
You have to give the whole ox.
You have to give her the whole ox, right. So in other words, in short, so if you write a get on a tree, it's possible to begin with. You can't make it kosher at all. Because there's no way, because if you keep it attached to the ground, it'll be possible. It won't be venosan, and then it won't be like safer. And if you detach it, then it'll be mechosik tzitzah. And as far as the horn, we just said that, okay, you have to have, that you cut it from, that you cut, that you can't have, that you cut it after you write it. And then in the case of the horn of an ox, you only have the one consideration that it would be mechosik tzitzah. So the Mishnah says,
a
chotzer, fine, but it has to be a detached get that's placed in that chotzer. Okay, so the Mishnah says, ein kosvim mechobel akarka, so you can't write a get on something that's attached to the ground. Kosvim mechobel, what if he wrote the get while it was attached to the ground, tolshrei v'chosvim v'nosneva, but then he pulled it out of the ground, and then he signed it, and then he gave it to her kosher. Rabbi Yehuda posel, adshtek sivasi v'achsimasi v'tolosh. Rabbi Yehuda says it's possible unless both the writing and the signing would be done when it was detached. If we say that it's kosher when it's detached before signing, then that would be because edich simakarati. Why Rabbi Yehuda says that not? Then we'll see. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira Omer, ein koisvin, here's another din, a separate din. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira Omer, ein koisvin loyal on a Yoram Mothuk. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira says you can't write a get on paper that was previously erased, the loyal diftera, or on diftera, which is parchment that has not been completely tanned. We talked about the last couple of days, we talked about the afotzim, the gallnuts that you treat it with to make a white writing surface. Before it's treated with that, it's called diftera. So Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira says you can't write a get on such a thing, because when it was previously erased, or when you haven't treated it with gallnuts, it's able to be forged. You could write something, you could erase something, and it wouldn't be noticeable. So conceivably, the husband might have written a tnai in the get, and now it was erased, and we won't know whether it was added afterwards or whether it was removed afterwards. In fact, Rashi points out, the Edom would be signed, what you could do is, you could have, for example, that he could erase the entire, you could have, the whole thing was written on erased paper, for example, then you have the Edom signatures are also on the part that was previously erased and now is being written, now you're going to erase the entire get with some Tanai that was in it, and rewrite it, and therefore that's no good. But Chacham say it's kosher for reasons that we're going to discuss in the Gemara. So the Gemara starts off, what do you mean kosval mechover? We're saying if you write the get on something attached to the ground, then we're saying it can be kosher as long as you pulled it out of the ground and signed it. V'hamar t'reisha ein kosvin. Didn't we just say that you can't write on something attached to the ground? And the answer is, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Rosh Hashir Mokam HaTorah. The answer is, it would work only if you wrote only the tofes while it was attached to the ground, not the Torah. The Torah is the essence of the get, the names of the husband and wife in the city, the parts that vary from one get to another. Also, the words Hareat Materis Lachaladam, which is the central formula of the get. All of those are called the Torah. Most everything else is called the tofes. So if you wrote the tofes attached to the ground, now after all, when the Torah says, because of the nasan, that you have to write it and give it, that means only the essence of the get. The whole rest of the boilerplate text of the get is not really required in the Torah. So therefore, it would be fine to do that attached to the ground. In fact, Tosfos at the beginning of the Masechta explains that then in point of that, when the Mishnah uses the word chosmo, it doesn't mean like the usual meaning of chosmo. It would mean the Edom signed it. It would actually mean he completed the get. Like the Chosmein or the Chaim Tovim or whatever. So therefore, he completed the get when it was detached. V'chein Amar Rav Elazar, Amar Rav Yishai, Rosh Hashir Mokam HaTorah. V'chein Amar Rav Abachana, Amar Rav Yechanan, Rosh Hashir Mokam HaTorah. But Rav Elazar, now Rav Yechanan also adds the point, necessarily, therefore, we would have to say that our Mishnah goes like Rav Elazar, Dom Edim Asira Kauti. He says that anyway, the Edim who are watching the get being given over, they are the ones who make the get take effect. So in other words, when the Torah says v'chosav, so in other words, there's two ways of looking. When the Torah says the word v'chosav, does it mean that the Edom have to sign it, or does it mean the writing of the get itself? According to Rav Elazar, the word v'chosav refers to the writing of the get itself. So therefore, the writing of the get itself has to be done in a way that's kosher. V'chokikamah. So therefore, the Mishnah is saying, ein kosvin tofes shema yichtav Torah. You shouldn't write even the tofes while the tree is attached to the ground, because you may forget and write the Torah as well. Cost for the tofus, but if you wrote the tofus, the tolshay, and then you pulled it out of the ground, cost for the tofus, and then you wrote the tofus, the nasnila, and you gave it to her kosher, then it would be kosher, because now it's all good. The tofus was written when it was detached from the ground. According to Rav Elazar, now you've been makayim v'kosav, because writing the tofus is what's called v'kosav, according to him, and now you're giving it with edim asira, and therefore everything's good. On the other hand, Rish Lakish says, the fact is, the Mishnah does not say anything about Tofus or Torah. The Mishnah uses the expression that he signed it, that he pulled it out of the ground and then signed it. So that implies that no, the entire get, Tofus and Torah, was written with it still attached to the ground. So how could it be kosher? Vrda Meir. Rish Lakish says, no, our Mishnah would go like Rav Meir, Doma Evi Chastima Kaji. He says the Edom who sign the get, who make it take effect, according to him, the v'chosav of the pasuk is referring to the signatures of the Edom. The get itself, the whole formula of the get, tofes, toref, everything, can be written by mechuber, as long as it was detached before the Edom signed it. And that would be, according to the mayor, the Edom chasimakati, v'chosav. So the Mishnah would be saying, ein kosvin toref, gzeira shemiyachim. You shouldn't write. You could, in principle, write the whole thing attached to the tree, but you shouldn't, because you shouldn't write the Torah while it's attached to the ground, because you might come to Edom, might mistakenly sign it while it was attached, and then it would be possible. Plus for the Torah. But if he wrote even the Torah when it was attached to the ground, Toshay, then he pulled it out of the ground, Chosmay, then the Edom signed it, the Nosnila, and then he gave it to her kosher, then it would be kosher, because we would say the Edom Chasima are the ones that when the Pasuk says the Chosab, it refers to them. So two different ways of understanding the Mishnah. One is the Mishnah is talking about where they only wrote the tofus attached to the ground and then they detached it before writing the Torah, and we're saying b'dieved that would be kosher, but b'dirabanan you shouldn't do that. Or are we saying the whole thing was written in mechuber and only the signatures were done b'tolish? So we'll continue tomorrow, Beis Hashem, talking about dinim in this connection, more about things that are attached to the ground and detached and how it relates as far as gittin and as far as other areas in halacha.